Welcome to Bible Adventures. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.
Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. No sin is too big, no problem too small. Jesus is Lord of all.
In today's Bible Adventure, we have to look at some background for the cause of rivalry that existed between the Jews and their northern neighbours, the Samaritans, at the time Jesus was on earth. During his reign, King Solomon needed many workers for building God's temple, a few palaces, and fortresses for security. The taxes that the Jewish people were expected to pay were very heavy to provide for the king and his projects. When Solomon died and was replaced by his son Rehoboam, the people asked for some tax cuts. The new king unwisely listened to his friends and spoke harshly to the people, telling them instead that he'd increase their taxes for furthering his own purposes. The kingdom was thus split between two southern tribes of Judah and Benjamin, while the 10 northern tribes took a leader called Jeroboam as their king. This happened in 930 BC. God had designated the temple in Jerusalem to be the place of worship to him, and through his servant Moses had given instructions about a number of feasts to be celebrated there throughout the year. The northern king didn't want his people to be travelling to Jerusalem regularly, as he thought they might decide to reunite with their southern relatives. So, against God's laws, Jeroboam set up two golden calves as idols to be worshipped in a temple on the mountain called Gerizim. Devout worshippers of God were outraged and moved south, but the rest of the people seemed to accept what had been done. God sent his prophets to the northern kingdom, but they didn't change their ways. So in 722 BC, the Assyrian army came down and captured the capital Samaria. They took away 27,000 people into captivity, but left the country districts alone. This new Assyrian province was weak and underpopulated. Immigrants from Assyria were brought in and their idols came with them. The immigrants, after nearly 200 years in the land, offered their services to help rebuild the walls of Jerusalem when a large group of Judean people led by Nehemiah returned to Judah after the Babylonian exile. The immigrants' offers of help were refused. Although they thought of themselves as Jewish, the Samaritans had intermarried with other nationalities and were not considered pure in the sight of God. This rejection angered them, and so from then on they tried to stop the work. This rivalry was strong for hundreds of years, and although the temple on Mount Gerizim was destroyed by invaders, the Samaritan people still worshipped their false gods there. And this is the background to the bad relationship between the Jewish people and the Samaritans. The Jordan Valley is 800 feet below sea level, and the Samaritan Hills climb steeply to being 2,000 feet above sea level over 7 miles. The Lord Jesus had chosen to go through Samaria, but it's little wonder that he was tired from this walk by the time he and the disciples reached Jacob's Well outside of Shechem.
But, Master, what use to stop here? This is Jacob's Well, all right, but it is deep, over 100 feet, and we have neither bucket or rope to draw water.
Peter, the Master is weary, in need of rest and drink and food. Well, let us all go into the city and buy food.
Except the Master. He will stay here and rest. We shall be back shortly, Master.
Jacob's Well.
May I have a drink of water?
Oh, you're an Israelite. I'm a Samaritan. We are enemies, neither asking nor giving favors.
You marvel that I should ask of a Samaritan so simple a thing as a drink of water. Had you asked me, I would have given you to drink of the water of everlasting life.
Oh, there is no water better than the water from Jacob's well. And no one is greater than Father Jacob, unless it be the coming Messiah. Thou art a thirsty traveler, way-worn and dusty. Yet you speak of the water of everlasting life. Art thou greater than Father Jacob?
Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again.
Oh, I know, sir, for I have been drinking continually of it, and still keep on thirsting. But that's only natural.
But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But it shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life.
I perceive full well, sir, that it is not water from Jacob's well that thou speakest of. Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither again to draw.
Go, call thy husband, and come with him hither.
I have no husband.
Thou speakest truth. For thou hast had 5 husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband.
Sir, I had hoped to keep forever hidden these things, for I am ashamed of them. Yet they... I know they must be brought out in the open on the day of judgment. Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. And if thou be a prophet, surely you can give me instruction in many things that have troubled me in the past. Our fathers...
Hoping to silence conviction, she spoke of points of religious controversy. Patiently, Jesus permitted her to lead the conversation whither she would. Meanwhile, he watched for the opportunity of again bringing truth home to her receptive heart.
Will you admit that the temple on Mount Gerizim, though at the moment destroyed by our enemies, is the proper and true place of worship?
The hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father.
Yes, sir. Do we Samaritans worship aright, or do the Israelites?
Salvation is of the Israelites. For unto the Israelites hath the Father declared the great truths of redemption, and from among them shall the Messiah appear. Not by seeking a holy mountain or a sacred temple are men brought into communion with heaven. In order to serve God aright, we must be born of His Holy Spirit.
Never before have I heard such simple yet great truths. Thou knowest of my sins, yet thou hast spoken no word of condemnation. I feel that thou art my friend. In my mind, sir, and from the scriptures, I know that the Messiah cometh. When he does come, he will tell us all things.
I that speak unto thee am he.
As the woman heard these words, faith and joy sprang up in her heart. She accepted the wonderful announcement from the lips of Jesus, the divine teacher. Meanwhile, the disciples had returned from purchasing food. But they stood a short distance away, surprised that the Master was talking to a Samaritan woman. Soon she took leave of Jesus, happy in the knowledge that the Messiah, called Christ, had come.
Should we approach the Master now?
He is silent, absorbed in deep meditation. His face is beaming with light from heaven. We shouldn't interrupt, yet, he must drink and eat, for he is faint and weary, and it is our duty to see to his needs. Come. Master, here is the food we brought. Eat of it and drink.
I have meat to eat that you know not of.
Someone else brought you food?
My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to accomplish his work.
That woman, she left her pot of water here. She must have been in an awfully big hurry.
She learned the source of living water, and hastens back to the city to impart the glad tidings to others. She realizes that the great work must not be delayed, that now is the day of salvation.
My dear neighbors, friends, I have just returned from Jacob's Well. There I saw and talked with the Messiah. He told me all things that ever I did. Oh, he is the Christ. Come. Come and see him and learn of him.
Jesus and his disciples at the well saw a great multitude coming from Samaria toward them between the fields of grain, the young and tender green stalks touched by the golden sunlight. Pointing to the scene, Jesus said to his disciples,
"Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look, the harvest is already white for reaping."
The tradition of conflict between the Jews and Samaritans was carefully preserved. However, the Lord Jesus spoke courteously to this immoral woman, who was an outcast among her own people. She came to the well for water in the middle of the day so she wouldn't meet the other women later in the afternoon. This account of her meeting with Jesus is told in John's Gospel, chapter 4. When Jesus asked the woman for a drink of water, she questioned why he, a Jew, should speak to a Samaritan woman at that. Jesus offered her living water, the Holy Spirit, to satisfy her soul. What Jesus spoke of symbolically, the woman took literally. She was talking of visible things, yet Jesus was talking about eternal, invisible things. Although Jesus was showing the human traits of weariness, hunger, and thirst, his deepest desire was for the salvation of this sinful woman. He forgot his physical needs and concentrated on her spiritual needs. Patiently, he revealed himself to her as a Jew, as one greater than Jacob, as a prophet, and as the Messiah. When the disciples returned with food, they too wondered why Jesus was talking to a Samaritan woman, but they knew it would be for some good reason and for some good end. After she'd gone, the disciples urged Jesus to eat something. But Jesus explained to them his greater need was to do his Father's will. Doing the will of God should be the food that nourishes us and not medicine that upsets us. The disciples were satisfied with material food, but Jesus wanted satisfying spiritual food from God. The will of God gives us the strength we need to do our job in the great harvest of souls all around us. The time to take part in the harvest is only short, and we must be busy while we can do so. God sometimes uses very weak and very unlikely people for beginning and carrying on a good work for him. By teaching one poor woman, Jesus spread knowledge to a whole town. The townspeople came out to hear Jesus and stayed there for two whole days. A missionary working in a poor South American country was climbing a steep mountain to get to a town built on the plateau at the top. So steep was the road that rest areas with seats had been built for weary travellers on the roadside to refresh themselves until they were ready to continue their journey. When the missionary reached one of these rest areas, there was already a group of people there. He asked them if they were a certain religion, and they all said that they were. So the missionary asked them if they wanted to know for sure that they were going to heaven. Then he told them about what the scriptures said from memory. He hadn't planned to go talking about Christ that day. He didn't have any Bibles for the people who said they'd just given their lives to the Lord Jesus. The missionary told them to be at his house on Sunday morning, and he would give them each a Bible. When a few days passed and it was Sunday, there was a knock at his door at 7 o'clock in the morning. All the people who said they would give their loyalty to Jesus and no longer to their religion were there waiting for a Bible. Just like the Lord Jesus, that missionary made the most of each opportunity to talk about the things of God whenever one came, even when he wasn't prepared. Some people coming to Christ have a great deal more background knowledge of the Bible than others do. The initial confession of faith in the Lord Jesus is only the start. The convert must then be trained in the things of the Lord. This can be explained from the four main points in the book of Romans. These are highlighted by the word therefore at the beginning of chapters 2, 5, 8, and 12. The first one is condemnation for those who are living their lives without Christ. The second is justification when God looks at each repentant sinner through the shed blood of Jesus and sees the sinner as he sees Jesus, perfect. The third is sanctification, the process of making the believer godly through the learning of Scripture and obedience to the Holy Spirit's leading. And the fourth one is consecration, being the decision to dedicate our bodies as living sacrifices to God, wholly devoted to His service. This record of Jesus explaining the things of God to an immoral woman teaches us a lot about attitudes towards other people. Jesus didn't show prejudice against a foreigner or look down scornfully on the woman because she was a woman or judgmentally because she hadn't kept society standards. Even when she was confused about what he was saying, he acted patiently with her. If we want to speak to someone about the Lord Jesus, we need to show respect and be friendly too. Throughout his ministry, the Lord Jesus treated women as human beings of great value in the sight of God. Only pride leads a man to think he's better than any woman, for he himself was born of a woman and owes his early life to her constant care. Make this the aim of your life. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as though you are working for the Lord and not for people. The drama is from the Bible in Living Sound. You've been listening to Bible Adventures, and I hope you'll join me again next time.